With WMUK News, I'm Gordon Evans. A federal pipeline safety bill is on its way to President Obama for his signature. It will increase the standards for pipelines in the Great Lakes. Michigan's Gary Peters introduced that bill in the Senate. Peters was also one of the senators who spoke yesterday on the Senate floor in an extended effort to get a vote on gun legislation. Senator Peters, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
It's wonderful to be with you, Gordon. Thank you.
So does this bill, one of the things it does is it declares the Great Lakes a high-consequence area. What's the impact of that practically?
Well, practically, that means that all pipelines in the Great Lakes Basin will now be subjected to the most rigorous oversight and the highest standards when it comes to pipeline safety as imposed by the federal agency PHMSA, which is the agency responsible for oversight. We were able to get that amendment in this legislation and passed on a broad bipartisan basis, which I think is significant. And it recognizes the fact that any pipeline in the Great Lakes Basin could potentially put the Great Lakes at risk, not just those through the straits, like the Straits of Mackinac, Line 5, which I'm very concerned about, but any pipeline that is crossing tributaries and in our basin would be subjected to these higher standards.
But Line 5 is the one that has everyone's attention right now that goes through the Straits of Mackinac and is owned by Enbridge. Does this legislation make it any more likely that Line 5 or any of these other aging pipelines that you're talking about would end up being shut down?
And we do have two additional features that would specifically deal with Line 5 through the Straits. But I will say the high consequence area, one that we just discussed, is important in the fact that Line 5 is a risk to the Great Lakes, not just under the Straits of Mackinac, but quite frankly, as it traverses the length of the Upper Peninsula. And by discussions with the Coast Guard, who are responsible in overseeing cleanups, they are also very concerned about the pipe as it goes across the UP and across those tributaries. So we need to elevate our oversight of those areas. But the other two features specifically to Line 5 and other pipelines. One is a requirement that is a pipeline operator is drawing up its response plans to an oil spill. They need to consider ice cover in those response plans. Surprisingly enough, that was not a requirement prior to this law. And Karen, when you think about the Straits of Mackinac covered with very thick ice at certain times of the year, we know that a cleanup of a spill in the Straits would be extremely difficult and complex given the currents and the volume of water. And then on top of that, think about trying to do that with very thick ice. It would be extremely difficult, if not impossible. And now those contingency plans will have to consider that. And that would certainly lead, if you can't clean it up, it would certainly lead to the question, you probably should not be operating a pipeline, certainly during the times where you know it would be impossible to clean up a spill should one occur. The other aspect of the legislation will require a complete review of aging pipelines and the impact of aging to the integrity of those pipelines by the GAO, which will allow us to fully assess whether or not we should be operating them or what sort of oversight is necessary. We have situations in Michigan, not just in the Straits of Mackinac, but other places around the state where we have very old pipes. And think of the St. Clair River. We've got pipes there that are nearly 100 years old.
So if the inspections find that these pipes have corroded to the point that they don't seem to be safe, can there be some sort of mechanism then that says, okay, you can't put oil through them anymore?
There is a mechanism to do that if they've reached that point, absolutely. And that's part of the oversight that is required. And we need to have a fuller assessment. But quite frankly, we need to have a fuller assessment of what actually happens with old pipes before they get to that critical point. We need to be assessing this before they get to there. Oftentimes, if you're catching it that late, you may have caught it too late, and that would be obviously potentially catastrophic.
So you and several other senators took to the floor yesterday and spoke about the need to address guns in this country. Mostly Democrats were the ones who were making these speeches, including yourself. Do you think now that you have some sort of a way forward to at least get a debate? Is that what you were able to accomplish yesterday?
We wanted to make sure we at least get a vote on the floor. With the horrible, tragic attack in Orlando, which certainly involved a lot of issues. It was a hate crime against the LGBT community. It was a terrorist attack, but it also illustrated the ease in which people can acquire weapons in this country. And we have to remember, as horrible as the incident in Orlando, we have incidents every single day of individuals who have been the victims of gun violence. So we would like to have votes on two common sense measures. One would say that if you are been placed on a terrorist no-fly list for the airlines by the FBI, which means that they believe that you are too big of a risk to get on an airplane, and so you're on a no-fly list, that if you're on that list, you should also be prevented from buying a firearm. But in addition to that, the key vote is that we also want to close the loophole with background checks. Currently, there are huge loopholes, even though background checks are required, and could limit the purchase of a gun. For example, if someone is subjected to a personal protection order, they aren't going to be able to buy a weapon under federal law. But because of the loopholes, huge numbers of weapons are purchased without any background check. We need to close that as well and require universal background checks, regardless if you're buying the weapon from a gun show or on the Internet.
I want to read from your statement on the Senate floor yesterday. This horrific incident raises a number of questions. Was it a hate crime, an act of terrorism, an outgrowth of the ease with which individuals in the country can purchase deadly weapons with high-capacity magazines? The heinous actions of a self-radicalized young man inspired by and swearing allegiance to ISIS? And you say the answer to all of those questions is yes. We've got about 45 seconds here. I'm just wondering if, since it's a multifaceted thing, does that mean that Congress should have several different approaches to how to address the problem and hope it doesn't happen again?
Oh, there's no question. This is a complex problem that requires a complex answer, but that means a variety of steps that need to be taken. The weapons legislation, the common sense legislation we're asking to have happen now is part of that, but it's only one part. We also need to focus on the radicalization of the individuals here in the country and how we engage the Arab and Muslim community to be allies and trying to find those individuals who may be susceptible to that. Also means going after some of the social media being used by ISIS and other terrorist groups. It also means engaging our allies in the fight, and it also means making sure that we're dealing with hate crimes and what was also an attack against the LGBT community. We cannot forget that and need to be focused on that as well.
Senator Peters, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Gordon.
Gary Peters is a United States Senator from Michigan. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.